Are you ready for a whole new way of being in the world? Welcome to Living from the Inside Out with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is stop stopping yourself. And the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and living from the inside out and thriving in every area of your life. 866-254-1579. Toll free in the United States and Canada. 866-254-1579. Outside the U.S., dial 001-760-918-4300. And actually, before I even set the table for today's show, I want to just remind you of two programs that we have that are just starting this week and next. So last week, those of you who were listening, you know, we talked a lot about creating the impossible. Creating the obstacle is creating the obstacle. Sorry, they just typed something into my screen here in the studio, and I got totally distracted. I'm a professional, ladies and gentlemen. Don't try this at home. Creating the Impossible is a 90-day program. We just began this week, and it is literally one of the most enjoyable ways I know of starting off the new year with a lot of energy and a nice community and a very different approach to creating than the traditional go get 'em tiger goal setting approach. So you can learn more about that at michaelneal.org/impossible. And you can join us through the end of the month. And if you are a very last minute person, and we always have them, we've actually had two today, you can also join us still for Supercoach Academy. So Supercoach Academy 2017, which is the most comprehensive program that I offer. It's a training in the work that I do on this show each week, and how to build that work into a business. And if you are already a coach, how to incorporate this understanding into your work at a deeper level. And that you can learn more about and be one of the last minute joiners by going to supercoachacademy.com. All right. So before I go to the phones, let me talk a little bit about the topic, this idea, stop stopping yourself. And there's a movie that came out last year with Adam Sandler from Saturday Night Live. Those of you in the States might know him from SNL and Lonely Island. And it was called Never Stop, Never Stopping. And there's a little bit of that in this idea of stop stopping yourself. And my little blurb for today's show was, what if self-sabotage wasn't a real thing, but self-stopping was? And what I mean by that is in any moment, we can get really focused on our psychology and the details of our psychology, and generally speaking, what's wrong with our psychology and how to fix it. Or we can engage with our creativity. We can engage with that which is always on, this creative force in us that's always on, that's available to all of us 24/7. And notice, the only reason that we're not creative 24/7 is because we stop ourselves. We hold ourselves back. We come up with very good reasons why we can't or shouldn't, or it would be dangerous to do what occurs to us to do. Now, there's a difference between stopping yourself because you know, and that's not really stopping yourself. That's knowing it's a bad idea, right? So I'm not saying stop stopping yourself from running into traffic. Stop stopping yourself from poking yourself in the eye with a stick. Stop stopping yourself from jumping off a cliff. No, you don't do those things because you know they're really bad ideas. Okay. The stopping yourself is where you kind of know to do something, but you don't, for whatever very good reason pops into your head and sounds believable and plausible. So this is kind of such a simple idea that I hate to talk about it too much, but I'm going to talk about it a little. And the kind of first example, that I want to give is of a client that I was working with, and we were talking about how our minds are receptive to wisdom and creativity if we let them be. If we tune into that frequency, that's the signal that we get. But it's a different use of the mind than the traditional, okay, let me think about this and let me work this out and let me rationalize this and let me come up with a list of reasons and let me all, you know, we use our intellect. So we use the brain almost like a processor. And we rarely think to use it as a receiver. But yet, we work best in sort of like a flow-through mode where we're receiving ideas from the deeper mind, from the universal mind, the inspired mind, the creative mind, and they're flowing through. Then when we block off the connection to the creative signal and we kind of stay with what's already in there. So it's the difference between processing with your computer and getting information from online. It's the difference between having a radio that's pre-programmed with a limited number of songs, even if it's a huge number of songs, and having a radio that is hooked into satellite radio or online radio or traditional radio, whatever kind of radio, where you can tune in and hear me speak and hear Alan Cohen speak and hear Anita Morjani speak. And hear from a different source to your own brain and your own repetitive thinking. And that's why we want to do it, right? Is because we already know what we think, right? At that, we kind of heard ourselves think the same things again and again and again. So I was talking with this client about that. And I said, well, let's do a little experiment, because he wasn't sure he really understood it. And I said, can you think of a time where you were trying to figure something out and trying to figure something out and trying to figure something out, and then you gave up because you couldn't figure it out, and then boom, you woke up the next morning with the answer, or an hour later it came to you, or even, you know, 3 days later, you suddenly went, oh, and you suddenly realized what to do. Well, everybody's had that experience, but in the moment when the pressure was on, he couldn't do it. And I said, well, good. This is a great opportunity for us to kind of experiment with this reflective mode of the mind, this receptive mode of the mind, this receptive use of the mind. So I said to him, I said, so just kind of, you know, wonder about it, you know, let your mind wander. Don't try to focus on an answer or find an answer, but just be open to it. And let's see what comes. And I couldn't think of an example off the top of my head either, which is kind of part of why I did it. Now, about, I don't know, a minute and a half of quiet reflection later, he said, I can't do it. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I don't have an answer. And I was like, so? Like, why was a minute and a half the cutoff point? So what he'd done is he'd stopped himself. He'd had the thought, this isn't working, and decided that it was true, and stopped actually doing the thing that would have worked. Now, he went back to it. He stopped himself one more time, and I pointed it out, and he went, oh, yeah. And then about, I don't know, 3 minutes of quiet reflection in, he went, oh, yeah, I was taking this test at university, and it was a brainstorming thing, and I couldn't think of any ideas, kind of like this. And then the teacher called time, and as soon as she called time, I had three great ideas. Well, that's how the mind works. And when he stopped stopping himself, he was able to benefit from the capacity of mind. Now, the example that's probably for most of you, the more immediately recognizable. And by the way, numbers to call 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada. Outside the U.S., dial your country code, followed by 760-918-4300. Is when you're working on a project and you talk yourself out of it. And then you start again, and then you talk yourself out of it. And then you start again, and then you talk yourself out of it. And you either think you've got really valid reasons. Ah, it's too much money. Oh, it would take too much time. Oh, I wouldn't be good at it anyways. Oh, it's the wrong time. Oh, it's right. Either it sounds plausible to you or you kind of know it's not, but you do it anyways. You take yourself out of the game. I remember the first time that memory I've got of doing that was when I was playing football. I must have been 12, 13 years old, and I was playing in a peewee league, I think they called them. And it turns out I don't like getting hit. Like, you know, who knew? and so after a few plays in the game where I was just getting creamed, I was playing on offense and our quarterback threw the ball towards me, and somebody jumped in front of me and intercepted it, and I was chasing after him because that's what you're supposed to do, and somebody tried to block me, they tried to get in front of me to stop me from tackling the guy, but did it really badly. They basically fell down in front of me, and it happened in a moment. But I let myself trip over him. I took myself out of the game. And when I coach people, I see that again and again and again. That they, not deliberately, not in some, oh, I must hate myself, oh, I must not want myself to succeed way, but just in a very practical way, they take themselves out of the game before they have a chance to stick with it long enough to get somewhere. They take themselves out of the game before they've had a chance to learn what would make it easy. They take themselves out of the game before they've had a chance to get far enough along in the game to start to get some of the benefits of it. And that's what we're up against, right? That is what we're trying to navigate, is what if you didn't? What if you didn't, just because you had the thought, oh, this isn't going to work, take yourself out of the game? What would happen after that point? And let's explore that together. So let's begin in Norway, because we can. And let's talk with Daniel. Daniel, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. This is Daniel here from Norway. So I got the opportunity to actually meet you on Elevate Denmark in 2015. And I told you about how great of a piece I got into myself after reading your two books. So I've been on this path now since. And so my question is about the metaphor you had about the flowing country stream and traditional psychology. So I have the understanding of how this metaphor works into my life, and it's beautiful. But how would you then give traditional psychology, how would that fit into the world? I mean, with really hard diseases.
So let me do this, Daniel. Let me speak to what I think you're pointing at, and then you can kind of redirect me. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So traditional psychology, and yes, I can hear I am about to make a ridiculous overgeneralization. So thank you for pointing that out in my own head, right? But traditional psychology focuses on the detail, the content, the pattern, maybe even the structure of our experience and or our thinking, right? So if it's a more cognitive psychology, it focuses on the content of your thinking. And if it's a more behavioral psychology, it focuses on the content of your behavior, what you do or don't do. And if it's a more analytic form of psychology, it focuses on, the experiences that you've had and the content of your life to this point, right? Well, what a sort of a... the understanding that I share on this show, the Inside Out understanding, points to is thought is continually flowing through us. It's a spiritual energy. It isn't an activity, though we can certainly use it to think. It's an energy. And as such, it flows like a river very naturally through us from a deeper source, what I call the deeper mind or the divine mind or the universal mind or the creative mind. Now, in that river, along the way, it will pick up dirt and sticks and twigs and leaves, which are the individual thoughts and experiences and ways of thinking that we have habituated to over time. So we do have a psychology. There are leaves and sticks and dirt in the river. But there's no need to go in and analyze or swap out one leaf for another, one twig for another, one stick for another. Because if the river's flowing, we're going to experience creative flow. And if the river's not flowing, we're going to experience a feeling of stuckness. So sometimes it does happen that we kind of have so much detritus, so many leaves and sticks and dirt that kind of get bogged up in the river and it stops flowing. It starts kind of like an eddy, we call it in English, where it spins round and doesn't move forward anymore. You start thinking the same things again and again and again, almost compulsively. And when that happens, if you stick with the river metaphor, well, you just need to give the stick or the leaf a nudge. You just need to nudge it back into the flow, and the river will take care of it. So that's the difference. The difference is, with the inside understanding, we're looking to the flow of the river and to experience maybe more of that feeling of being upstream with the source of the river. With traditional psychology, we're getting into the content of the river water. So that would be how I would make that analogy. Does that speak to what you were asking?
So I really feel this understanding of the flowing river, but how would I go forward and let's say I have a client who's like really in shitty place, like how would I describe that to them if they really stuck, like really stuck, like let's say schizophrenia or something like that?
So here's, and again, obviously I can't tell you what to say to your client, but I can tell you where I would look. And mm-hmm. I would look in me, because mm-hmm. it sounds to me like you feel a bit stuck about what to say to your client. And and so there's two ways to go. Either we go into the detail of your stuckness and try and analyze it and figure it out and change it and fix it. Or what, given what we're talking about, excuse me, I'm sorry, I rarely sneeze on air, but there we go. Thank you very much. But if instead of doing that, we assume, hey, I'm one thought away from my own creativity flowing again. In other words, there's something that just needs to get a little bit dislodged in my thinking, that needs to loosen up in my thinking. And I know that by nature, it'll happen of its own accord. If I stop trying so hard, a new idea is going to come to me. I would be looking in that direction, because it's automatic. If we're looking for a great way to communicate with our clients, some great ways of communicating with our clients will come to us from the creative mind. And if they're not coming, it's just because we've gotten caught up in the stuckness instead of focused back onto the flow. Mm-hmm. So I hope that's helpful, Daniel. Thank you for phoning in. Nice to meet you again.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. And let me just kind of speak a little bit generally to that before I move on to the next callers. We're going, just so you can kind of keep track at home, we're going to Vegas next and then up to Washington State. But even in that example, right, it's very easy to drop out of finding an answer to a question because, well, I tried, I couldn't come up with anything. But that's not where answers come from, right? Answers come when they come. It doesn't matter if you know, it's like we all have this inner egg timer with anything. And we go, well, it's not working. Like, I don't know. I'm sure I've mentioned it on the show, but I did a show years ago on Hey House Radio about the power of unconditional love. And a woman phoned in the next week and said, yeah, I listened to your show last week. And I tried that unconditional love thing with my husband and it didn't work. What else can I try? It doesn't work that way. Right? Things take the time that they take. They often take longer than we'd like, but they usually take less time than we think they will. And if we don't take ourselves out of the game, then we get to learn, we get to grow, we get creative ideas, and we move forward. So let's move forward. As promised, let's move to Vegas, and let's talk to Amy. Amy, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hey, Michael. Nice to talk to you.
And you.
I love the giving unconditional love a shot approach.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, well, good try.
Next. Yeah, right. I am signed up and I'm part of the Creating the Impossible program this year, which is really awesome. I'm excited.
Cool.
And I've had an idea of what I want to do. I really love talking to people and having conversations with people to that, you know, just kind of ease their load. I guess it's coaching, but more just kind of connecting and helping people see things clearer, you know. The three principles, of course, is just such a great way to look at everything and change the way I look at life completely since I discovered you and the three principles.
Mm-hmm.
But so I thought, okay, that and like fitness, maybe that would be something really awesome to do. And the first week that we started this, all of a sudden I realized I need to change careers and for personal reasons, financial reasons. And it's a separate thing, but at the same time, it's like, oh God, I got to create the impossible here too. And along with that, along with that comes a lot of anxiety and stress and pressure. And it's like, oh my gosh, I got bills, I got kids, you know, but I see that I need to make a change here. And then I'm in this Creating the Impossible class and I don't want to ruin that either, but I need to create all of this.
So what if, Amy, there wasn't an along with that come stress and pressure and fear?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I get that right now, I'm going to extrapolate a little bit here. You've got some thinking that feels stressful and anxious and fearful.
Right.
But that will pass through. That's just part of the flow of thought. That's that spiritual energy taking form.
Mm-hmm. And
that's not where you want to put,
you know, yeah.
See, that's just not where you want to put your attention. That's not intrinsic in changing career, right? There'll be other times where you still want to change your career and you're not thinking many thoughts at all and you've got a really peaceful, beautiful feeling. There will be other times where you still want to change your career and you'll be thinking about something you saw on TV last night.
Right. Yesterday, last night, it's still on my plate, but I was laughing with friends. And
right. And yeah. And that's what lets us not get caught up in the ever-changing feelings that we have as we set about creating what we want in our lives. See, it's very easy. One of the ways we stop ourselves is we think, I can only go forward once I take care of all these uncomfortable feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have to move forward so that these uncomfortable feelings will go away. But the uncomfortable feelings come and go on their own anyways.
They're going to be there.
They're going to be there and they're going to not be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're a direct reflection of thought in the moment. If you happen to be thinking those thoughts, you'll be feeling those feelings. And when you happen to not be thinking those thoughts, you'll be feeling different feelings.
I love that.
So all you need to do is look in the direction you want to go. And you'll start to get ideas and you'll start to see opportunities about that direction. See, that's the beauty of the mind. We're going to talk about this a lot more during the Creating the Impossible program. So you'll hear me talk about it in a lot of different ways. But essentially, when we aim the mind in a direction, that's the direction it gives us ideas about.
Mm.
It's like aiming a sailboat in a direction, right? When the wind comes, that's the direction it will take the sailboat. And if you're, if all your attention is on fixing your feelings, then you're going to get a lot of thinking about thinking and feeling is about feeling and you're not going to, it's nothing to do with getting anywhere. Whereas if you can see that the thought feeling thing is self-correcting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's part of our built-in resilience.
I like that. It's not that you have to stop yourself or check yourself. You know, I was listening to something else another time you were talking, and you know, you just kind of catch yourself sooner when you're thinking those things.
Yeah, you just notice that it hurts earlier and you stop doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that will happen more and more naturally the more you see that that's all it is. And then you can put the creative mind to work in the direction that you want it to take you. So it would be like if we go back to the metaphor of the radio, right? It would be tuning your radio to the new career channel, as opposed to tuning your radio to the What's Wrong with Amy channel or the How to Fix Amy channel. Or the Why Amy Will Never Get Anywhere channel, or or even not tuning the radio in at all and just telling yourself why you can't do it,
mm-hmm.
or why it's going to be hard. Like, this is the great myth, is that we have to come up with the answers. That's like telling my radio it has to sing a song to me. That's not what radios do.
Right.
And that's not what our minds are designed to do. Our minds are designed to be receptive to fresh thought. Now, we can use them in a multitude of ways, including rational intellectual thought, and that it absolutely very practical. But ultimately, for the big stuff, for the stuff that you can't Google, that's not the right use of the mind.
It's the step, just kind of keep stepping in. And
yeah, you know, it always sounds too simple, but if you take the next step, that's not only all you need to do, it's all you can do.
Yeah, right.
Right. There's a great story. I can't remember where I first heard it, but I wrote about it in one of my books. I Think You Can Have What You Want, is The Room of 1,000 Demons. And the story was, and I think I probably have an ancient Zen story confused with the musical Brigadoon, but the story as I remember it was that every 100 years, a window in time opens up, and there is a moment where anyone can be enlightened, regardless of how much practice they've done, regardless of how many lifetimes they've sought. It's every 100 years, there's an opportunity for anyone to be enlightened. But in order to do it, they have to pass through the Room of 1,000 Demons, which is a room where all your worst fears come to life. And the advice that people who decide to take on this challenge for enlightenment, this journey to enlightenment, the advice that they're given is, one, whatever you see in the room, remember, it's just a creation of your own mind, no matter how horrible it seems. And two, whatever you see in the room, keep your feet moving and you'll get to the other side.
Very cool.
Happy exploring, Amy. I'll see you on the Creating the Impossible calls.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Bye. You know, it's so simple that it can sound simplistic, but that's also why, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase that A students from school wind up being managed by B students in companies owned by C students. And while that's certainly not always true, the reason why it is surprisingly often true is that people who don't spend so much time thinking are usually pretty good at putting one foot in front of another and just keep walking. And people who are really good at thinking are usually really good at thinking themselves in and out of projects 100 times a day. And again, you don't need to change your fundamental personality. You just need to stop stopping yourself. So let's go out to Kennewick, Washington, and let's speak with Nicole. Nicole, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, welcome. Glad to be on the call.
Cool.
I am made for this topic. I would have to say that the universe pulled some cards. I actually woke up sick this morning, so I stayed home. I never get to listen to Hay House anymore due to my 8 to 5. And right. I called, and it actually went through. So here I am.
Here you are.
The product of this exact conversation has been on my mind, obviously it's been on my heart. I could not be more in need of direction as far as this. I am one of those people that has crazy good ideas. I can see these visions of things. I'm good on that. I'm terrified to execute.
Mm-hmm.
I stop myself at every turn.
So give me an example, Nicole.
So I find something that I'm super good at. I can't say that I've ever found a career that I'm passionate about. I was a young mom, so I kind of had the last 15 years of just doing what you needed to do to be a mom and a wife and a friend. And throughout those years, I was able to find things that I was good at. Like, my mom passed away from breast cancer, and I developed a team and events that fundraised like crazy amounts. And I was just a small town girl just trying to do something to make myself feel a little better.
So far you're giving me a series of examples of you not stopping yourself.
Exactly. So I do things in short spurts that are super awesome. And then something happens where I think, personally, if I was just to evaluate it, it would be that I'm afraid that it's doing so well that it will stop. So I just bow out. Like, I have an essential oil business that I've been working at for 3 years, and I'm pretty good at it. But whenever I'm about to get great at it, I like switch gears. I don't have enough time for that. Or I need to focus on this, or this is not going to work, so I just won't even go down that way anymore.
Let me ask you a question, Nicole. Do you mind if we just take that as a first example?
Absolutely.
Okay. Would you like to keep developing your essential oil business?
I am passionate about it. It's not my long-term goal, though.
Okay, but you do love it.
I do.
And you'd like to do stuff with it. You'd like to keep working with it.
Yes.
Okay. So, what if you just did?
That's exactly what's been on my mind, if I just did it.
Mm-hmm. Like, and don't, see, now here's how I think you might be holding it a little differently than I do. See, I think you have some kind of movie, and this is just a guess, in your head, that when you think of, well, what if I just did it, it runs 3 years ahead to some imaginary consequence of what happened. So you not only make up all the things that are going to happen, but you make up how you're going to feel about them, as if we could somehow know how we were going to feel about a future event now. But see, we can't know how we're going to feel about a future event now. Putting aside, we probably are wrong about what the future is going to look like anyways. But even if we're right, we don't know how we're going to feel because we're going to feel exactly how we think in that moment. And then it will have new thoughts and new feelings. Because getting somewhere doesn't feel like anything. I mean, yes, there is a dopamine release the moment you hit your target. So you can predict that I will get a dopamine release, a rush of feel-good chemical in my brain and body in the moment that I think I've succeeded. And that will last anywhere from 30 seconds to 6 hours. Other than that, you're going to feel what you're thinking. And what you're thinking, you don't know what you're going to be thinking. You don't know what you're going to be thinking 5 minutes from now. So there's no basis to make decisions now on what you think might happen or how you think you'll feel in the future. The only basis for what you do now is what you either know to do now or want to do now. And there's a real simplicity to that. There's no, it's not a big deal. You know, I know to do this or I don't. I want to do this or I don't. That's all.
So the reconciliation of the fear that comes with that.
Well, fear is a feeling that most people have when they have scary thoughts. And then when the scary thoughts pass, the fear does too. But sometimes the kind of after effects of the adrenaline in the body kind of linger a little bit. But that's it. I think the problem is, and I've talked about this in a lot of different ways over the years, but we confuse worry and anxious thinking with fear. Fear is something that is built into our biology when there is a clear and present danger to our physical self. Right? That is a very useful, it makes us super strong. It makes us super clear. It gives us a kind of a real edge for a short period of time. But most of us, our lives are so safe that we don't even know what fear feels like. Because we're probably only ever in genuine physical danger, you know, once every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
What we are really familiar with is the feeling of anxiety and worry, which is where we think scary thoughts and feel scary feelings. And that's an ungrounded game, right? That's an independent little thing that happens in our heads and bodies. It has nothing to do with externals. And it's easy to see that because there are people who are scared of Jell-O and there are people who are not scared of jumping backwards off a cliff with skis.
Yes. The state of mind.
So if fear was not relevant to what you did or didn't do, so I'm not saying feel the fear and do it anyways or feel the fear and run like hell. I'm saying know that fear is one of the things you'll feel as you go because at certain points you'll think scary thoughts.
Okay, that makes very much sense to me.
See, and then it gets simpler because you don't have to factor fear into the equation other than knowing it's one of the feelings you'll feel along the way.
All right, thank you so much.
Very cool, Nicole. Enjoy. And if as you've kind of lived with that for a little bit, phone back and let's check in.
I will. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too. It's such a different understanding of where our experience comes from than the norm. Right? Almost all psychology says that our feelings are in some way connected to reality. They are predictive or they are interpretive or they are you know, assessment based, or they are rational or they are irrational. But the inside out understanding that we are living in the feeling of thought in the moment, moment by moment. And that there is, I don't know if larger is the word I want to use, or there is a permanent background against which this thought, feeling, drama plays out. There is a screen onto which every movie of our minds is projected. It's pure consciousness. And that there's a feeling that comes with that, that most people describe as peace. And sometimes bliss or joy, and sometimes just, ah. And that's the feeling that we're looking for all the time. And it's permanent. It's not the feeling of any particular movie being projected onto the screen. It's the screen. And that's why we don't have to worry about our thinking. We don't have to fix our thinking. We don't have to monitor our thinking. We don't have to change our thinking. Because whatever movie happens to be being projected onto the screen of our consciousness, the screen of our consciousness is still there. And it is unaffected, right? You can show 100 horror movies on a movie screen, and when the movie finishes, that movie screen will not be scared. That's us. We can think 1,000 scary thoughts a day, but the moment we're not thinking them, we're not feeling them. And we go back to our nature. We go back to the feeling of being alive. And the reason that that's so helpful in creating in the world is because all that energy that we get caught up in, spend on our feelings and our state of mind and our thinking, is now available to us to create in the world. We don't have 6 full-time jobs. We've got our real full-time job, and then we have fixing our thinking, and then we have staying with our feelings, and then we have being mindful of our thoughts and feelings, and then we have creating the extra thing that we want in the world, right? That's a lot to do. What if you could take all of that off your to-do list, except your 8 to 5 and your impossible project, or whatever it is you'd like to create in your life and in the world? And you got to do it much of the time with the peaceful feeling of the screen of consciousness, and knew that some of the time you'd be caught up in the feeling of whatever movie happens to be playing on the screen in the moment. Let's go to Atlanta and let's talk with Tip. Tip, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today? Ooh, I'm having trouble hearing you, Tip. Hang on a sec. I'm not sure if they can bring you up. Okay, I'm sorry. We're going to have to lose Tip. Let's go out to Orlando, Florida, and speak with Odette. Odette, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about?
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I feel like I'm in the exact opposite position of Nicole, who just called in.
Mm-hmm.
And I have become clearly aware that I am definitely stopping myself. But I find that I am doing it as opposed to having an idea and not being willing or stopping myself from taking action. I feel that I'm actually blocking any ideas. And I feel that's another way of stopping myself. Because if you don't have an idea to work upon, then it's easy not to fail, right? So I would like practical ideas and solutions for moving past that creative stagnation so that I can actually get into movement.
Okay. So let me check something with you.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's two ways that somebody can mean what you said.
Okay.
Okay. So one of them is oh, I've noticed that I'm not really accessing my creativity on a regular basis. I'd like to do something about that. I'd like to access it more. And the other is, oh, God, there I go again, not accessing my creativity. I don't know what's wrong with me. I need to find a way to kind of get past this. Do you have any techniques that can help me? In other words, one of them is just an observation without anything really on it. And the other is really loaded, and it's kind of all about you. And I just want to check with you. Does it feel like, oh, my God, I just noticed I'm creatively blocked. Can you help me unblock myself? Mm-hmm. And the other is, I don't know if I'm, I don't know how to put it into words, but you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean.
So which does it feel like to you?
I feel like it's a little bit of both, actually.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. So let me do this. Let me tell you that that one, we're just going to put away. That's your psychology. We've all got one. It'll pass. Okay?
Yes.
We don't need to deal with that. We don't need to address that. That's not fundamentally real. That's thought in the moment. And it'd be cool to have creative ideas about something. So what would you like more creative ideas about?
I feel like specifically in the moment, I really feel this need for meaningful, I don't want to say work, because I equate work to job, and mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily mean a job, but I really feel this this desire and need to be help change, to help other people, to be a positive influence for others around me. But I find myself getting stuck in the creative aspect of, I know I want to do this, but how can I do it?
So let me check something with you, Odette, because here's what I heard. What I heard was that you would like to be a positive influence in the world. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can do that regardless of what you do. Right? You can be a computer programmer who by your presence just makes everyone around you's life better, whether you're at work or at home or commuting. Right? You could be a bus driver who brightens up the days of the people on your bus.
Completely agree.
You can be a politician who makes everybody smarter around you instead of stupider. You can, like, there is no job description or unemployment situation that could possibly stop you from being a positive influence in the world if that's what you set out to be. So in that sense, the reason you're probably not coming up with creative ideas is because you're looking for it to look like something. And it can look like anything. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
So you're off the hook. Kind of cool, right?
It is.
All right. Thank you, Odette.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny because we... Look, me too. We try too hard. We overthink things. And it makes them seem really complicated. And when we stop doing that, they're not so complicated. I have a friend, and this really made me laugh, but he was saying he watched an episode of Law and Order. And I think that's shown on reruns around the world everywhere. But it's essentially a show where there is... You know, there's detectives and they solve a crime and then the criminal is brought to court and then the people in the court try to make sure they go to jail. Well, so my friend is watching Law and Order and he sees the detectives doing their detecting and he thinks to himself, I bet I'd be a really good detective. I mean, I'd need to learn what detectives know, but like I'm naturally inquisitive and I really understand how the mind works. So I'd be really good at sticking with something until a fresh idea came and I had a breakthrough on the case. And I really understand that I'm naturally resilient, that all human beings are naturally resilient. It's just our nature. So I wouldn't get downhearted or discouraged when I was struggling to catch somebody or bring them to justice. And so he's kind of thinking this and watching the show. And then, you know, they show the big heist. It's a bank job. And he thinks to himself, do you know, I bet I'd be a really good bank robber. I mean, I'm really creative. I understand how the creative force works and that, you know, the mind is like a radio, like it's really receptive to creative ideas. So I would get lots of creative ideas about how to get around security systems. I mean, I'd have to learn bank robber stuff, you know, and everything that bank robbers know. So there'd be a learning curve. But once I went on that learning curve, I think I'd be a great bank robber. And then he's watching the show and they're in court and he goes, you know, I think I'd be a great lawyer. I mean, I'd have to learn lawyer stuff, but you can see that, like, the principles behind what we do are the same. When we know that this creative force will move through us in whatever direction we aim it at, and we know that we will feel lots of different things, but underneath the feelings, we are fundamentally unshakable and unshaken. And when we know just that's just how it works, and there's learning curves, and then you get good. It doesn't matter in the same way finding the perfect fit. And so we're much more free to explore. We're much more free to play with things. We're much more free to try stuff without it having to work out to have been worth trying. And because of that, we succeed more. Because it doesn't occur to us to stop ourselves. Or that's maybe not even true. It might occur to us, but it doesn't occur to us to listen. Like, we might have the thought, oh God, this is going to be really hard. I'm not going to be able to do this. I suck at this. And then we're back at it an hour later because we know, yeah, that was horrible. What a horrible thought. Ugh, I felt terrible while I was thinking that, right? You don't have, this is the thing. As long as thought is flowing, remember we talked about the river earlier in the show? Well, as long as that river of thought, that river of insight that comes from source, that comes from the deeper mind, that comes from the creative mind is flowing, the content of the river in any given moment doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think. But knowing that fresh thought is always coming, and that it will flow within the riverbanks you've carved. The sailboat will sail in the direction you've aimed it. Fresh creative ideas will come about whatever you're looking for fresh creative ideas about. And all you got to do is aim yourself in a direction and let the wind fill your sails. So if this is a conversation that you would like to explore more with a specific project, this is the conversation we're having over at Creating the Impossible every day, Sunday to Friday, Saturdays off for good behavior. And you can learn more about that at michaelneal.org/impossible. And if this is a conversation you want to be able to have with others and you want to make your living having that conversation, then last call for Super Coach Academy 2017. Which you can learn more about over at supercoachacademy.com. Other things, we have every week at michaelneal.org, I put out a newsletter which has a new blog post, and it has a new video, and sometimes a new podcast. We're kind of slowing down on the podcasts, Caffeine for the Soul. You can find it on iTunes, and we've got, I think, 75 episodes up. But while I'm working on Creating the Impossible, not much new there. And you can learn about all the programs and all the different things that we are up to. So I hope you have enjoyed the show. I hope you stop stopping yourself. And until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.